Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
So now let's go to Thea Ellison. Let me introduce this magical lady quickly. So she has been an intuitive coach for 12 years. And as a result of the Embodiment Facilitator School, she was also able to integrate embodiment into her practice. She is now creating a life of magic with her partner in Cornwall. And she works with leaders who really want satisfaction in all areas of life. So let's see how she can bring us some magic and how we can learn from her. Thank you and welcome, Thea.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. It's great to be here with all of you. Thank you very much for that welcome and that introduction. It's such an honor to be part of this conference. I can't tell you how much it means to me, the coming together around embodiment. Embodiment has changed my life. I've always been passionate about the body. I've loved lots of different aspects of embodiment, from tantra to sailing to just living. And it's always interested me how we relate with our bodies. After a long time of working in different careers, teaching and traveling when I was younger, and then working in business leadership, I realized that my professional goals were really coming alive, and I was creating a lot of success in my world, in my business world, building organizations and really supporting my teams well and changing things as a leader, which was very exciting and something I really loved. And I think is a common factor amongst leaders, that we love to change things, we love to have an impact in the world. But for me, that was coming at a very great cost. And I suddenly looked at my life and realized how my blinkers had narrowed my personal life so that I was becoming fairly lonely at home. Actually, I was terminally single, possibly the most single person I've ever met. I'd been alone for a very long time. And it was all about work. And I suddenly realized I hit that magic moment, slightly midlife, where you go, well, hold on. There's got to be more to life than this. And at that point, my coach pointed me at a teacher of sensual dance for women. That was a wild experience. And a teacher of intuitive creating. And both of those really lifted me out of where I'd got stuck and enabled me to refocus my life and change the direction of it, which resulted in ditching my job, which caused a lot of tension. I didn't think I could survive out of that structure, going sailing in Mexico and eventually falling in love with my lovely man Thurston, moving to Cornwall and getting my own boat with my partner in crime, Ellen. So this is the journey that I've been on. And for me, what's made it possible is magic, which is why I wanted to share this with you today, share the subject of magic and leadership with you today. So it'd be interesting to really find out where you are with magic, where this audience is. Skepticism, by the way, is absolutely fine and encouraged. Please don't feel you have to buy in to anything. I'm going to give you some experiences. I'm going to share some premises with you. If you find they have value for you, then by all means adopt them. If they don't, feel free to question, look at them, explore them until you find a match. And if not, just leave them behind. So there's no need to completely buy in, but I'd be really interested to know, maybe in the chat, what's your relationship with magic? So are you a fully fledged magician? You create magic all the time. You know it exists as a force and you love the impact of it. Do you kind of wish magic existed, but you don't know really how to access it? Or for you, is it just, well, magic and business kind of don't mix? I suspect if you're here, there must be at least an interest, as it was the title of the speech, so of the presentation. So do let me know in the chat, like, where are you? We've got messages coming through. I need to keep remembering to refresh. Keep love magic, using it every day. My life doesn't work without it. Awesome, Christina. Every day I have more magic in my life. Beautiful. Depends what you mean by magic. So Claire, for me, magic is when you create end results that you don't really know how you got them. So something, you make something happen in your life, and then you look back and you go, well, how did I get here? You know, when you see a magic trick on stage, like, the magic is we don't know how they did it. They created something and we don't know how they did it. So for me, magic is the same in my life. When I can't work out how the steps I took actually led to the result, the bigger and better result I got, that's magic for me. I have a deep longing for it and my inner skeptic. Great, Natalie. Okay, so hopefully we'll give you something today to be able to calm your skeptic down and let you dive in a bit more deeply into the world of magic. David, yes, something that happens that inspires all. It's so true. So thank you for your feedback on that. It's really great to know a little bit about where you are as a group before we step in. So today's presentation, I'm going to share some premises with you. Now, premises are a great way of working with life. They are working assumptions. So a premise is not it's not fixed in stone. It's not a belief. It's something that you can adopt and work with. It's the same as a scientist working on, they have a working assumption and then they work to prove it. I don't think the premises I generally have are provable, except in the experiences that I have, that they make my life better. So I keep using them and I keep teaching them. And if something better than that comes along, I will happily ditch them. And in fact, because of my embodiment work, some of the premises I've used over the last 12 years have shifted to bring more of the body into my work and into the way I work. Magic is all around and we just can't see it. Yes, yes. But I think I'll be able to show you that we can feel it in our bodies, passion. And give you some pointers to how to do that. So I'm going to teach you some premises and we're going to explore those in our bodies. We'll be looking at how your relationship with magic and in particular some of the what I call creative gremlins that come up and get in your way. Maybe the skepticism that we've already had mentioned in the chat, some of the other beliefs and preventative measures that we put in place to stop us moving on into directions that we want. So we're going to explore some of those to get you clarity. It's really helpful if you want to create magic in your life to know what your starting point is and to know what's going to come up and get in your way. And then I'm going to, once we've explored that, so that's a bit of a dive down, a little bit of a U shape in this. And then once we've experienced that, we're going to give you another premise that is the bridge, that is the approach that you can use consistently to improve your relationship with magic and get results from it as a leader and in all areas of your life. So The end result is that you will understand a bit more about yourself, and you will also have some practical tools to use on a daily basis to create magic. So I hope that's what you're here for. If you're not, there are plenty of other channels going on and other offerings, so don't feel that you're stuck in one place. So let's dive into the material. And first of all, and more mostly importantly, let's dive into our bodies. This is an embodiment conference. So as I was practicing, my partner was looking at my presentation, and he said, "It's really good, but 20 minutes before you get anybody in their bodies." And I thought, "Ah, yes, good trick." So let's begin with our bodies. Let's begin getting into our bodies. And what I want to start with is a very quick and simple embodiment meditation. For me, magic is happening in our bodies all the time. Our bodies are pure magic in the way they work. I mean, of course, they're pure science in the way they work as well. But the incredible things our bodies do in every moment constantly sets me into, like David said, a place of awe. Magic is awe. And so we're going to start with a little meditation to connect with that magic of our bodies. As always, in any embodiment work, there's complete choice. So if it's not for you, if you don't feel that this is what you want right now, then please feel free to dip out and just sit back and relax. But if you'd like to join me, you can either close your eyes, or maybe have your eyes, if closing your eyes, sometimes that can be quite intense for some people. So if you'd like to keep your eyes open, but lowered a little bit with a slightly out of focus gaze. And begin by noticing your body in the world. It's morning here, so let's wake up in connection with our body. So feel your bum on the seat and feel it, shuggle into it a little bit. So you waken your awareness of your body. Feel your feet on the floor. And again, maybe move them around a bit, wiggle your toes. Get your body into a position that works for you, upright but comfortable. You can, if you want, be standing for this, of course, or lying down. But it's going to be a fairly quick one. And take a moment to relax what you can through your core. So to do that, imagine that you can soften between your eyes. And then relax your jaw, your tongue. Let it hang a bit looser. Going down your core, relax your throat, your neck and shoulders, down to your belly. As soon as I did that, I realized my legs were really tight, so they just naturally relaxed when I put my attention in my belly. And take a deep breath. And then breathe out. Continue breathing at your pace, but maybe give yourself a little pause after the next in-breath. And in that pause, notice what your body is doing. Give it some attention and some appreciation of everything that's happening to get the oxygen you've just breathed in into your blood and to your cells. Imagine all the synapses that are firing, the liquids that are being released, the hormones being regulated. And the unseen healing magic that your body may be doing as well. And then breathe out. And maybe a pause as well when you breathe out to enjoy that moment of rest and readiness for the next intake of breath. Give your body, if you want, a little bit of thanks, a little bit of appreciation. Good job, body. Well done. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for keeping me here. And then take a moment, if you would like to connect with everybody on this call and in this conference. Feel that connection with the other people around you, the other people who share your interest in this. 400,000 people plus have chosen to join this conference. So extend that warm feeling out from you to them. And then when you're ready, open your eyes, maybe a little stretch, a little move. And welcome to your body. And welcome to this space. So I'm going to dive into the content now, questions are very welcome, but there will be some very obvious moments when Stephanie can share the questions you're putting up. Yeah, please do feedback where that's taken you. Thank you, Kayla. What's the impact of a little bit of meditation and body connection for you? While I'm talking, do feel free to contribute through the chat. So my premise today, the premise I'm working with and sharing with you today, is that we are constantly creating magic. As human beings, we are naturally creative beings and we're constantly creating magic. But that magic can go in two directions. It can go towards the end results we love, creating great things in our lives. But we also, because we are naturally creative, we can also be magically creating the things we don't want. Again and again. I don't know if you have any experiences in life of repeating patterns, the same kind of people turning up, maybe the same boss. I don't know if anybody's had the experience where you leave a job to get away from somebody that you don't like working with, that you've had real trouble with. And you go to this great new job and it's all exciting. And then your great boss suddenly leaves 3 weeks later and exact replica of what you've tried to get away from comes into the company to start bugging you again. That's an example of your unconscious magic at work, of magic taking you in the direction that you don't want. Finances, weight, romance can often be indicators of some of the unconscious magic you do. You don't need to go into a training to learn how to do this. You don't need to read self-help books. It naturally happens. And that's because of a mechanism that I'm about to share with you on a slide. But we're always creating magic. Magic is available to us and it's actually fairly simple to slip your focus from one to the other. So that's what I want to teach you how to do today. Definitely there are nasty patterns into my life. Yes, on every level. We all have them. Finances are a great one. Who has an experience where your financial life kind of gets stuck at one level? And you find even if you maybe have a windfall, somehow you end up, oh, that all went somewhere. Where did that go? We needed a new fridge or we needed suddenly a new car. Something happened to bring you back or somebody in your family needed money and you gave it away. And it can take a bit of work to kind of bust through these levels and into new environments. So let me share a slide here to show you a little bit what I mean. Take that back. So I'm going to keep it not on slide view because it's easier, like being able to use my cursor to show you. So this is the structure of where magic happens. The premise of magic happening all the time is that you have a creative core within you or around you. I think it may be in life as well as in ourselves. Who knows? But it activates. This creative core is magically creative. It will create whatever it receives from you. It says yes to everything. It's very neutral. It doesn't judge and discern and go, oh, well, that won't be very good for us. I won't do that. It just goes, that's the input. So I say yes to it. And it gets busy to create end results for you. So when this happens to your benefit, you get sudden ideas of who to contact about an idea, or there's a convergence of two people who want to do the same thing and they're the perfect partner for you. And magic ensues. when it's coming from the aspects that are less helpful, it's that same boss turning up, it's the same money patterns, it's losing weight and then somehow finding your way back to exactly the weight you were before you put in all that effort. It's reiterating the patterns of our life. And there are three inputs that your creative core receives from. The most obvious one is our living embodiment. So the way we are in life, the actions we take, the thoughts we allow, the words we say, the things we back up with our words and actions is our living embodiment. We also have an unconscious embodiment, and this is the set of beliefs and assumptions we made about life when we were very young. Responding to events, we decided they meant something about us, maybe that we're not good enough, that we're not lovable, or that we need to control things. And we embody those beliefs and act them out all the time. And literally sometimes to the extent of influencing your body shape. So quite often people who think they have to be powerful have quite big body shape, like they literally fill out to fill their bodies. And people who believe they're insignificant in life can be very slight. It's not a given by any means, but it can often go that way. And so your unconscious embodiment is often giving information through to your creative core, through your thoughts and feelings. Like, I can't go for that. I'm not worthy of that. I don't know how to do that. I don't have the skills or the resources or the authority to do that, for example. And then you have up here your superconscious embodiment. And this is the embodying the information you get from your imagination and from your intuition and making that the thing that you make most important. So the real beauty of this is that your creative core will go with what it gets most of. And it doesn't have to be 100%. You do not have to be 100% in your superconscious embodiment all the time, because it's impossible. We're human, and so this aspect of us will play out. But if you can just tip the balance a little bit in favor of your superconscious embodiment, and your living embodiment supports that. So your living embodiment can support your unconscious beliefs. So your words are, I can't, I don't know how, it's hopeless, I need help. And you back that up with your actions of not going for things or backing off or giving it away. Or your living embodiment can give juice and extra addition to your superconscious. You can go, yes, I'm going for that. I'd love it. I'm going to create a boat. I'm going to live my dreams. I'm going to get that job that I'd love. I'm going to find the partner I'd love to be with. And then taking the action that comes to you to support that gives a massive input to your creative core. So moving from here to here is very possible. And it doesn't take an awful lot either. It does take consistency though. So that's the mechanics of magic according to this premise. Let me stop share for now so we can go into some work with this. So I want you to have an experience of this. I'll just check in with my notes. Before I do that, just let me tell you a little bit about my story, which I've told you a bit about, but this loneliness of mine before magic was my unconscious mind telling me that that I wasn't lovable, that I wasn't going to find somebody to be with. And also I had aspects of my own conscious telling me that I couldn't be vulnerable with people, that it would kill me to be open and vulnerable with somebody. So I kind of closed off and controlled everything and got more and more distant from connection with life. So grateful for those early teachers for starting to open me up, and for some of my colleagues who are on this call today, actually, for being the people who keep me opening to life and keep me creating magic. It's really helpful to have a great community. So as I said, I then went sailing to Mexico, and I think that was the first moment Thurston, my partner, who had been my friend for a long time, he really looked at me then and thought, I thought she was pretty awesome in what she was doing, but wow, she's just going to Mexico to sail. And I came back a lot freer, a lot more feminine, a lot less rigid, and my life began to open up. And it was because of applying some of the work that I'm going to teach you today. So let's have an experience of it. I belong to this embodied community, just catching up with some of the chat. Yeah. I can call people forward to help me. Yes, absolutely, Christine. You can bring people into your life who are going to be much more supportive of the way you want to be. So let's give this an experience and give you an experience of this in our bodies. So to begin with, we're going to work with an end result. Leadership, this is the Leadership and Business Channel. Leadership is about many things. Leadership is about many things. But one thing that I think is common to leaders is that they are people who want to impact the world, who want to change the world in some ways, or who want to create something. So we're going to work with that, with something you would like to impact, create, or change. And we're going to use our intuition to get that, using our body to relax and open and let the information come in, rather than scrabbling around for information and maybe connecting with something that might be something you know, but you might limit it in your approach to it, for example. So I want to take you to a place of real openness, where your thoughts and feelings, your unconscious agenda, your creative gremlins don't have any play. And where you can be open to the voice of your superconscious, the voice of your intuition to come and inform you. It has a more subtle tone, your intuition. So you have to give it space to hear it. And it might come as words, it might come as sensations in your body, it might come as symbols and images. But the important thing is that you take the first thing and you work with that and use the clue it is giving you to pad it out and decide what it's telling you. So something you'd love to, the end result is something you'd love to create, change, or impact in the world. So if you'd like to join me in this exercise, once again, take a moment to connect with your body. Feel your bum on the seat. Feel your feet on the floor. Notice them. And again, go through that process of relaxing through your core. So imagine that you can soften between your eyes here. Relax your jaw and tongue. Bring what relaxation you can to your shoulders, your throat, your neck, and your chest. Down to your belly. And take a breath. And as you breathe out, let everything go. Imagine that you're breathing out anything that doesn't serve you, isn't helpful. Once again, breathe in. Imagine that you're creating space in your being. And ask yourself, what is the thing I would love to impact, change, or create in the world? And whatever you get, hold that first thing. That's what we're going to work with now. So in a minute, we'll have a chance to share the information we're getting. But what I want you to do is take the information you've got. Intuition can be pretty instant, okay? If you hold the end result that you're going to get information quickly, often it'll come in moments, in the first blink of an eye. If yours is waking up a little bit and your imagination takes a while, don't worry. Things come through all the time, hey? If you keep holding it open, things come through. So for now, just take whatever it is and then keep holding the space for it to drop in. And use your body. Keep following the exercise. Even if you didn't actually get anything very clear in that beginning point, don't worry. follow the exercise and you're keeping the space open for the information to come through to you. You're clearing the clutter and you're keeping that possibility of getting the information you'd love. So if you'd like to stand with me, let's get on our feet a little bit. You can do this sitting, by all means. It's not necessary to stand. So if you want to stay cozy and sitting, then that's fine. But holding that idea of what it is you'd love to change or impact in the world or create. Have that hold that in your mind, hold that in your body, and then let your body start moving to shape around the end result of that idea, the vision you have of change. Let it do what it wants to do to start to represent this idea or this possibility, this end result with you. Like for me, I'm kind of naturally going bigger. My feet want to come out, but I want to stay moving. And it's interesting because quite often we have an embodied yoga pose that's like this, but for me, it's a bit softer. It's like holding. I don't want to go out here, holding here. So let your body inform you of this, give you more information and give a shape around this. And then hold that, find that and hold it. And for a moment, I'd like you, if you would, just to hold it in stillness. And as you're holding the shape of your vision, notice what starts to happen in your body. Notice what wants to happen. For me, my arms are getting tired and they want to collapse. It's like there's a pull in to be smaller, to be safer, to be more definitely more comfortable. I think my coach is in the room and she'll tell you I have a big draw towards being comfortable. My unconscious input is like, oh yeah, get comfy. So I'm feeling this movement inwards. And so I want you to follow that movement and exaggerate it a bit. Exaggerate the move that your body wants to make around holding that vision for a little bit too long, but perhaps than is comfortable. And I'm now in here. And then when you're there, ask yourself, what action would this take me to, this embodiment? What action would this result in? What way of being would I engage with here? And what would the impact of that be? What would the result of that be? So for me, I'm getting fold in, don't act, hold it all. Actually, look at me, look at my hands, hold it all in. Hold all my offering in, hold my learning in, keep it here. It's a bit ungenerous and miserly and mean and keep it here. And that would result in me not sharing what I'd love to share with the world, maybe not changing anybody's lives, not living my full life, certainly. And then when you've got something from that, just again, there you go, shake it off. Let it go, give your body a little shake and come back to the screen. So share in the chat, like, what information did you get? What you've worked with there are some of your creative gremlins, some of the unconscious inputs that want to prevent you, your creativity moving into that realm of magic and sustained magical end results. In action from Doris. Yeah, I want to embody love. Yes, a path to freedom. It was all positive for me. Okay, cool, China, good for you. It'd be interesting, China, maybe to keep holding that pose, because I promise you, when you hold an end result that is a stretch for you, things will come up. Like, I don't think it's possible to hold it and not have things come up. So it'd be interesting for you just to maybe hold it a bit longer and wait and see what then comes up and work with that in your body to have an experience of it, because it will be happening. It might be that part of what you're doing is not seeing it, you know, not like giving it space, not giving it room. Let go of rigidity, create more creative community, fatigue and fear of loss. Great, Eve, thank you. Really great information here. I wanted to crumble inwards. Yeah, collapsed in on myself. Great, great information. You want to open up and connect deeply with your partner. Great, Zed. We're going to give you some tools to work with to support you to do that. Alexandra, I freezed. Yeah, awesome. So this is giving you information about some of your gremlins and some of the things that want to hold you in that lower way of creating, where you keep repeating the same results. I don't like too much confrontation from Evelise, lovely name. I want to fight, my hands were crumbled in my chest. Yeah, so again, not wanting confrontation, it's a very common, very, very common pattern for people, very common unconscious reaction is to avoid the confrontation of, and sometimes creating takes you into some kind of, you need to make a stand for what you want to create. Beautiful. Thank you so much, everybody, for sharing. It's really generous of you, really generous. So let me now share with you the tool, the approach, the bridge out of here, the bridge to help you progress from your unconscious input having the power to your creative core to enabling your superconscious input embodiment to have more power and to start influencing it to create some of the beautiful juice of life and some of the magic in life and to create some of these end results you've been sharing in the chat effortlessly and directly using your most natural talents and gifts to do so. And the bridge here is another premise, which is the premise of creative tension. So when you set anything up that you want to create that you don't have, there's a gap between you and it. And that gap is tension. I want something, I'm not there yet. So there's tension. There's a tension to get there. And tension is a very natural creative force. We have a relationship with tension where tension's bad because the type of tension we're generally talking about is not healthy. That tension of, oh, I've got, you know, stress. We call it stress is not healthy. This is different to stress. It's a natural creative force. Nature uses it. It's how everything, there's a tension to grow. There's a tension for a seed to burst open and push for life into the world. There's a tension when a woman's pregnant for that baby to grow and hold that space for the baby to grow. And then there's certainly a tension of childbirth that is a very natural process. And so tension is a natural force that is the fuel behind your magic. So if you imagine it like this elastic band, this beautiful, sexy elastic band, tension, this is where I am and this is where I want to be. And there's that you can see the tension here. And imagine you can feel it. This is pulling my finger. It wants me to go this way. I can have two responses to this. I can either shrink my vision. So for example, one of my end results was to have a yacht. And really there was a very logical thing going on in my mind of like a yacht. Yes, I want a yacht, but well, maybe a dinghy would be fine to learn to sail. I'd learn to sail on a dinghy. And well, actually it's about being on the water. I love just being on the water. So maybe a rowing boat, maybe with an outboard, but a rowing boat just to muck about on the water. Or well, how about just a paddleboard? And then I'm on the water, or some armbands. I'll just get myself some armbands. And the tension's disappeared and it drops. The other response is to deny where you are. So this is, I want this. Oh, and it's all about this. The vision's going to be amazing. I'd love it. And I'm unwilling to look at where I am. And the tension disappears. I don't want to know what my current reality is. I don't want to face the truth of where I am relative to that. So again, the tension disappears. But this is going to catapult you towards your end result. This tension is going to catapult you towards the end result. Let me show you on a slide. Oops, share my screen first. So this is creative tension. You're here in your current reality. This is where you are. You have a vision of where you'd love to be, and there's this tension. And the beautiful thing that tension does is it pushes up ideas, inspiration, information. You suddenly, if you're holding this tension, suddenly you go, oh, I must call John. And John has exactly the right connection for you to further your project or further your idea. Or I know what, I'll surprise my man with a, if your end result is connection and you're holding the tension of it, you don't know how to do it, but you keep holding the tension of that end result, and suddenly you get an idea of how to do that, of how to open them up and re-establish your connection with them. And this is magic. So this up here is the magic that comes. So let's go back into our embodiment of what you would love to create and give you an experience of holding that tension and working with it and using it to establish what it is you need to do next in order to progress your vision. So, and then we'll debrief and I'll answer any questions that have been coming through as well. So once more, if you'd like to go back into the shape that holds your vision. Take a moment, settle into it, re-establish your connection with the vision. Tension really is supported by having your focus on your vision. Just holding that focus can create awful, a lot of magic. And then feel the collapse or the change that wanted to happen, and then just go, actually, no. I'm going to go back into the shape of my vision. And then feel it coming up again. It might be the same and it might be different. Like suddenly this time I want to cave away from it, my belly. So I'm not in it. There's this stuff going on here, but I'm not really in it. And then go, no, I'm going to go back to my vision. Change your embodiment. Maybe a yes would be better, really. To a yes to your vision. And here, what you're doing is you're listening. You're going, okay, thank you. Useful information. You don't feel safe doing this. But nevertheless, I'm choosing my vision. And then hold this in that way that works for you, that this is where you might need some movement. Movement might be the way that really works for you to hold this tension. You might want to adjust your arms or, you know, feel that this is a friend of yours. And hold that and wait and ask what's obvious. As I hold this vision, what's obvious? What's my next step here? What's going to take me to that vision? And in that space, let whatever comes, come. And whatever that is, work with that. That's your next thing. And so when you've got some information, you can gently relax your embodiment. You've landed it here. Maybe if you want to, you can, some people like to shake in the idea, shake in the action, the idea, the possibility. It might be in action. It might be hold off. It might be relax. Whatever you've got to do here. Shake it in, and then when you've taken action on that, then you can go back into your vision, reshape it. It might have changed a bit. Reconnect with anything that wants to happen with your body. Commit back to the vision. wait for the next piece of information to come in about what's going to promote that vision and bring it to life and magically create it. So if you'd like to, let's come back to the screen and we're going to complete now. I'd love to hear from you. What did you get? What are you learning about the premise of magic and the fact that you create all the time? And the premise of tension, that tension is a magical force that creates end results magically, easily, effortlessly. If you have any questions, do type them in the Q&A. I like the elastic band idea because the tension creates a space within it for the inspiration to come through. Yeah, it's really true. Now, tension, it's kind of good to see where you feel that tension as well. So again, if you can do this sitting up, sitting down. If you go back into your vision and just hold that vision, you will become aware of the tension in your body, the creative tension. Like I kind of feel mine in my belly area, in my solar plexus down here. And it feels like it's quite moving actually. It's not a still thing and it's not like stress. It's quite an excited bubbling feeling that I get in my belly. So again, it's something for you to work with, is to become familiar with how you experience that tension in your body and make friends with it. Because if you can hold that, I feel it in my back shoulder blades. Cool, Christina, thanks. Yeah, it's great to think of it as something that helps versus hinders. Thank you for that, Sarah. Amazing, great. That's cool. I got a step forward. Good to hear about positive tension again. Awesome, Maria. I'm so pleased if this is something that you're familiar with, and it's great to remind you. I feel it in the chest expanding and in the fingertips as well. That's nice. And with this exercise of finding next steps, the immediate next step I need to do comes up. Awesome. Cool. This is what we want. And then you take that step. And your body is your vehicle for doing that. So keep it connected with the process and it will help you to find the chutzpah, the energy, the enthusiasm to actually go forward with your step. Do we have any questions, Stephanie? Yes.
I was just going to jump in. So the questions are coming in. We got three so far.
Right.
Now, Lisa is saying, I feel that I need to hold a position for much longer. Is there an amount of time that one should hold a position, or simply trust holding the vision and position will naturally lead me to insight?
Yeah, great question, because it's so much a thing for you. What I would suggest is that, like, you know, we do have different personalities and types and approaches. We all have a different creative approach. So if yours takes a bit more time to come through, by all means, hold the position, hold it, and let it do what it needs to do for you. Notice and be aware if part of that waiting is some of your unconscious beliefs coming through of like, I have to wait, I can't get this quickly, it's got to take me a long time. I'm not saying that is what's happening, but your own body is giving you the truth of that. So if you feel that you're holding that into the vision, let your body move for as long as you want it to find the shape. That's really cool. And then have your own awareness alive in it, basically. It's unique to everyone, and your body wisdom is what we're energizing. So do trust your body's wisdom to guide you well. Thank you. I hope that helps.
I hope that helps, Lisa. Thank you, Thea. So Alexandra's asking, how to reconnect with your intuition? I'm having a hard time doing that. I never know if it's my mind, my intuition speaking. How to tell them apart?
Yeah. Basically, I trust my intuition, but when I started working with intuition, it took a while to come through. Like, there were people around me getting incredible visions and images, and I was like getting a little flash of something that might have been something and might not. And what I tend to do is go with what I get, particularly if I have taken the time to be empty, to get that embodiment of a kind of neutral embodiment is what I've started calling it, where you've done the centering, the feeling your body, becoming aware, relaxing your core, taking a breath. If you're struggling to get empty, you can just put your focus on the tip of your nose. So just imagine the tip of your nose, and that kind of drives everything else out and opens up the space, and then go with what you get, basically. And you'll learn to distinguish if anything has come in that you don't want to. But my advice is go with what you get. Go empty, but then go with what you get. The more you exercise your intuition, the more it actually starts to deliver the goods. It's like a muscle, really.
Wonderful. Thank you. I hope that helps, Alexandra. And Lisa says, thank you. So she got the answer she was looking for. Good. And Eve is asking, does that posture of our vision need to be static?
No, not at all. No. For a lot of people, I know David, my colleague who's in the room with me here, he has to move. We have creative meetings, and David suddenly, I've got to move. And he's walking up and down, and then he goes, oh, and his idea comes through. So for some people, dynamic is very important. I find as well, like if it's too fixed for me, it doesn't work. It kind of locks something in me. So I need a bit of a softer, maybe in big, but a bit softer in my shaping, I find works for me. So yeah, go with what works for you.
You go, Eve. So find your own way. And Gwen is asking, how does one separate intuition from ego?
Well, really by your focus. So if you're taking the steps to relax, open, and you're asking for the vision, you're asking for information on your vision, then what you're getting comes through is your vision. Like your focus will help guide you towards that. You might then ask in your shaping to go, okay, so what wants to stop this? And then you're getting your unconscious like inputs, and you can follow that. So it's a function of your focus and what you're asking to be given. And so, yeah, basically that. If you're asking for a vision, you'll get your vision.
Thank you for that. Thanks, Gwen. We have three more questions and we have 1 minute. So let's see if we can be really quick in the answers. We want to get to you guys, but we have to close on time. So Eve is asking, how about if I have too many creative ideas?
Yeah, I would strongly suggest picking a few, because there's an unconscious set of beliefs about capacity, and people who have the capacity belief will stack them up. So select a few, work with them, make progress on them before you start another plate spinning.
Okay. Nova is asking, what do you recommend if my vision makes me very stressful, even though I connected to my embodiment? So it creates stress in me.
Work with it until it feels like that tension, because we don't need to create with stress. There's creative tension that can, it feels uncomfortable, to be honest. Creative tension can be very uncomfortable. Again, my coach will tell you how uncomfortable it makes me sometimes. And also with that, your buddies around you, that can be really helpful. So they can help talk you through things and prioritize and really get to the important hub of what it is, so you're not stacking too much into that. And make sure you're not giving it meaning. Like that, if I do this, it means this about me. Try and keep it as objective as you can, and hopefully that stress will diminish with it.
Maybe the very last question, and then we need to come to a close. So Evelise is asking, do you recommend recording these messages somehow or make a vision board?
Yeah, I mean, expressing it, talking about it, writing it down, all of these kind of are part of your landing of your ideas. If vision boards work for you, then great, put it into a vision board. They're beautiful things. I don't work with them, but I do write what I want, and I do tell my friends. So absolutely, because it keeps it live.
Guys, we have to come to an end. I know there are no more questions, but Thea Alison, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you so much to our hosts, Stephanie and Doris. Thank you, everybody. It's been wonderful to be with you.
And in closing, just to jump in one more time, if you had to share one top tip to really live more embodiment, what would that be?
To live more embodiment, take time with that breath to let it bring you to a bit of stillness and openness.